and we will be recording this conference call so that we can go back to it, and it will be up on our website. We'll also be sending out this PowerPoint for everybody to be able to review it. If you weren't able to be on the call, or a friend of yours wasn't able to be on the call, you can we can pass on that on to folks. So we will be sending out the PowerPoint. And I'm giving. So we're going to have to do a universal mute. It's a soft mute, which means that you can unmute yourself by pressing *6. So at any point, if you need to ask a question, you can either do that by the webinar function, the join.me on the little cloud, the little comment section. You can click on that, and you can ask a question, or you can unmute yourself by pressing *6, and we will have a period set aside for questions. So I see we have about 30 people joining the join.me, so it seems as though people have access to that now. We had about 80-plus RSVPs for this call, so very glad you all could join the monthly Interfaith Immigration Coalition webinar on welcoming refugees. And today we're going to be presenting a lot of the resources that we've developed recently about how important it is to be doing the work in our community, to be doing the advocacy, to be building the relationships with refugee leaders. And we also have some really great speakers on the call. So let me just click through the agenda real quick. You can go to the next slide. My name is Reverend Noel Anderson. I'm with Church World Service and also the United Church of Christ. And I'm going to welcome you all and intro to what we'll be talking about today, about how to show the welcome and how to create the activities, the events, the advocacy actions to do that work of welcoming refugees. So first, we'll also have the policy updates on refugee issues and what's happening right now and how we need to be strategic around the policy pieces. And that will be with Jen Smyers, who's our Director of Advocacy at Church World Service Immigration Refugee Program. From there, we'll really hit on the resources that we've developed and Welcome Weekend, designed to be in your congregational services, your weekly services. Dr. Reverend Sharon Stanley Ray from the Refugee and Immigration Ministries from the Christian Church and the Disciples of Christ designed those resources, and so we're very thankful that she is with us on the call today to walk us through them. And she's also going to help us talk about these community dinners or these welcome dinners that we are working on, as well as Yasmin from Friends Committee on National Legislation. We'll be talking about the importance of, you know, really inspiring our local leaders to be able to do these local dinners with their refugee leaders and refugee resettlement agencies in their community. So, and then, of course, a very important point in all of this work is to lift up and elevate the stories and work to make sure that what the work we are doing is being heard out in the community. And one of the ways we can do that is through the media, through pitching some of the stories, inviting media to the dinners, and Megan Cagle will be talking more about that, as well as hitting on social media and how we can use social media for these events, and she is with Church World Service. So with that, I also want to just do a quick little update on some of the things that are happening in the immigrants' rights world and the immigrants' rights movement. And so you can go to the next slide, Megan. So many of us know that November 20th will be the anniversary of DAPA and DACA expanded executive action. And this would have, of course, benefited millions, probably 4 or 5 million undocumented people, particularly the parents of those who are LPRs or citizens. And so And, of course, it would have also expanded deferred action for childhood arrival. Now, unfortunately, almost a year later, it's been tied up in the court, and we're not seeing it move forward to the Supreme Court like we had hoped. Not too late for that, but... And why don't you go to the next slide, please? And so there is a series of actions on the November 15th to the 21st, if you're interested. You know, I know a lot of people do vigils at detention centers as it is, and this is really focused around, you know, trying to stop deportations, trying to hold ICE accountable to the prosecutorial discretion guidelines that they've set on November 20th, and really trying to, you know, lift up those cases of many cases we know of people who should be getting prosecutorial discretion, but they're not, and really trying to push the administration on, you know, the fact that there have been raids. There are still really a lot of people being deported that shouldn't be. So if you are involved in an action, please do sign up. And there is a link and a map to the that you can see the different events that are happening throughout the country. And I know some of you are involved in that already. So, and once you get the PowerPoint sent out to you, I also sent this to the listserv just on Friday, so you probably have it in your email box. The next quick update is on family detention. Many of us know that in July there was a U.S. District Judge Dolly Gee ruled that the practice of detaining children in these facilities went against the 1997 legal settlement Flores case, and that children shouldn't be being held in these restrictive settings. And so recently we did see this victory that the Pennsylvania Department of Human Services found that Burke's facility is currently licensed for as a child residential facility, and they are not going to renew that license until they start operating less like a detention facility, more like a child residential facility. So that is good news for our struggle, and that could close down Burke soon. Let's go to the next slide. But even as the DHS has been trying to comply with the judge's ruling, they really have not closed. They really have still kept people detained, and so we're seeing these hunger strikes across the country in many of the detention facilities where we have families, such as Adelanto and Hutto and La Salle and El Paso. And so these are the action steps you can take to support these hunger strikes and the petitions and the call and action alerts. So with that, there are also, of course, state updates, but North Carolina this month did sign into law the North Carolina HB 318, which will take away the capacity to limit the collaboration with ICE at the local level with the so-called trust policy and its attack on the sanctuary cities. And we are starting to see that spread to other states, so we'll need to be cognizant of that. And with that, I will like to turn it over to now to really get to where the focus of this webinar will be, which is about the refugee crisis we're seeing throughout the globe. And as so many faith communities are responding to this and wanting to know more about how can we respond to this. And so we definitely would like to get going on that and invite Jen Smyers, who's done really so much on the refugee resettlement advocacy work and really been a leader on the Refugee Council USA. So go ahead, Jen.
Great. Thanks so much, Noel, and thanks for everyone for being on the call. So as you know, and I'm sure everyone has been following what's going on with the global refugee crisis, and in particular the Syrian refugee crisis, there are more than 4 million Syrian refugees who are seeking safety in the region, and many of them going on to Europe as well. And there are 8 million internally displaced Syrians who are still trying to eke out existence in Syria. We know that Lebanon, Turkey, and Jordan are hosting more than 3 million of these refugees, and then Germany recently pledged to welcome up to 1 million Syrians. I think it's important to note when we're talking about this crisis and the numbers that sometimes the U.S. says, we take in more refugees than anywhere else in the world, but actually most of the places where refugees are being hosted is actually within the region. So, for instance, if the U.S. Let in as many Syrians as Germany is, proportionate to our population, because Germany has about a third of the size of the U.S. population, this would be akin to the U.S. welcoming about 3 million Syrian refugees. However, the U.S. has only resettled less than 2,000 refugees, and while the Obama administration has pledged to admit 10,000 refugees this year, it's not really a substantial increase. They were already planning on admitting about 5,000 to 8,000 refugees. While they have increased the total number of refugee admissions from 70,000 last year to 85,000 this coming year, and then 100,000 in fiscal year 17, this is really still a very low number. For instance, in 1980 alone, the U.S. airlifted about 200,000 Vietnamese refugees. And then for each year throughout the 80s, we were closer to that 200,000 refugee mark. So we'll move on to the next slide in terms of what could the administration be doing. It's important to note that, we're asking the administration to resettle 100,000 Syrian refugees in addition to that 85,000 presidential determination that they've already committed to. And this is very doable. The U.S. could increase funding for the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, to be able to help more Syrians abroad and also to refer more Syrians for resettlement to the U.S. and to other places. The U.S. could also increase the capacity that the Department of Homeland Security has currently to interview and process more Syrians for resettlement to the United States. There are also current systems within the refugee resettlement program that the administration could utilize, including a priority 2 designation, which is really a special humanitarian designation that the U.S. has provided for many different refugee populations in the past. This can either be geographically or time-based, but for instance, one easy idea is there are many Syrians who are simply awaiting their approved immigration petitions to be reunited with family here in the U.S. So these are people, about 20,000 people, who have already applied, have already been approved for admission to the United States. They're just awaiting their priority date because of the very lengthy backlog. Right now, just to show how long this backlog is, we're processing people who applied in December of 2008. So it really shows how backlogged our system is. But these people could be processed in through a priority 2 designation, and then they could await their visa in the safety of the United States. The administration could also expand the priority 3 family reunification program, which is a program within the current refugee resettlement system. Right now, you can only apply for your family members abroad if you yourself came to the U.S. as a refugee or an asylee. But the administration could interpret this more broadly to include anyone who has a Syrian refugee family member, anyone who's here in the United States, even if they didn't come as a refugee. We actually know there are many Syrian-American citizens who can't apply for their family members abroad, and many people who are here on work visas or in other ways who wish that they could apply for their family members. But right now, the administration has a window of opportunity to ask Congress for more funding to help Syrian refugees abroad, as well as a whole host of other refugees abroad, as well as to help increase the processing of Syrian refugees and to help refugees once they are resettled in the United States. And as many of you know, right now the government is operating on a continuing resolution, which is basically the same figures as last year's budget, until December 11th. So the administration and Congress basically have to figure out how much each government agency will get in terms of funding by December 11th. So we want the administration to ask Congress for more funding for these refugee-related accounts. We'll go to the next slide to then talk about Congress. Right now, especially like I mentioned before that December 11th deadline, the big ask of Congress is to appropriate more funds for refugee assistance internationally, refugee processing, so that it doesn't take the nearly 3 years that it can take for a refugee to be processed to come to the United States, and for resettlement. I think it's very concerning right now because last year's budget was calculated to admit 70,000 refugees. The president's budget request was calculated to admit 75,000 refugees, but now the presidential determination is 85,000 refugees. And we want to make sure that there's enough funding to be able to assist the increased number of refugees who will be arriving in the United States to make sure communities have the resources to help refugees really integrate and thrive. And also with a very, very, an acknowledgement that many refugees, millions, will never have an opportunity to be resettled into a third country, and so making sure that our international assistance can be bolstered. So there are two asks that we can make of our senators and our representatives. For the Senate, we can urge our senators to co-sponsor S-2145, which is a $1 billion supplemental that's bipartisan. It was introduced by Senator Lindsey Graham and Senator Patrick Leahy in the Senate. We can ask our members of the House of Representatives to sign on to a Dear Colleague letter, which has been led by Representative Vargas of California. And that Dear Colleague letter specifically asks for increased funds for refugee assistance internationally, refugee processing and interviewing, and refugee resettlement in the United States. So go to the next slide here. And this is just like a quick snapshot. I won't go through each of these, but when you're talking to your members of Congress or meeting about refugee issues, you can mention some of these positive pieces of legislation that would help Syrians and Iraqis who are refugees, and that would also strengthen the refugee resettlement program. So I won't get into the details on that, but everyone will have the PowerPoint slide to kind of get more into the weeds on what those pieces do. It's really just for reference to mention these are some positive bills that members of Congress can also co-sponsor to be supportive. But moving to the next slide, I wanted to put on people's radar screen two negative proposals when it comes to refugee resettlement. And this is not to, you know, scare anyone. I don't think that the first one in particular does not have a shot at becoming law, but it's important for us to know what these bills are when we get asked about them. So the first is the Resettlement Accountability National Security Act, which is H.R. 3314. And this is very, very concerning. It would stop the entire refugee resettlement program until the House and the Senate pass a joint resolution to reestablish the program. So this is a bill that also has some negative conflation with refugees and the benefits that they use, which we know are very minimal, and really just the initial assistance that refugees receive to get on their feet and to be integrated and give back to their communities. So we're very much opposed to this bill, H.R. 3314. The second bill is a bill that unfortunately is picking up some steam and getting more co-sponsors, and that's the Refugee Resettlement Oversight and Security Act, H.R. 3573. And this is a tricky bill. It would place the resettlement system on hold or stop it altogether if the Senate and the House cannot pass a joint resolution each year approving the number of refugees to be admitted to the United States. So, I mean, you all know because you work with Congress and you read the paper, Congress is not necessarily the most effective or efficient at passing joint resolutions on much, especially something that could be really politicized, like the number of refugees admitted to the U.S. each year. But even additionally concerning is the fact that this bill would say that for the administration, when they're processing refugees from Iraq and from Syria, that the administration should prioritize religious minorities. And we can read between the lines here, you know, when this is not for all religious minorities worldwide, this is specific to Iraq and to Syria, and this is a specific provision that would prevent Muslims from being resettled in the United States. So it's very important that as a faith community, we stand against anything that would prevent Muslims from being able to access refugee resettlement, that stand against any type of religious discrimination in our resettlement system. So I'm really pleased, and I think many of you on the phone have signed on to this religious leader letter opposing any legislation that would prevent Muslim refugees from accessing resettlement in the United States. It has more than 400 signatures, and it's still open if other people want to sign it, and there's a link to it here. When I'm finished my part, I'll also put in the link in the chat function. So I'll move to the next slide here in terms of how we can help. Oh, sorry, one more here. So I wanted to talk about the anti-refugee sentiment that we're facing. So sorry, Megan, we'll go back to that one about anti-refugee sentiment. this is something that we have unfortunately seen a lot of anti-refugee sentiment, really anti-immigrant forces, anti-refugee forces, and anti-Muslim forces coming together to be opposed to Syrian resettlement in particular. And so this is something that we want to make sure we're being prophetic witnesses against any type of anti-immigrant sentiment, anti-refugee sentiment, anti-Syrian sentiment, anti-Muslim sentiment, and having our voices heard on that. I think it's important when, you know, people might bring up resources from these anti-groups to show that they have been linked to hate groups, and the Southern Poverty Law Center in particular has done a good job putting a spotlight on these groups. So how can we help Syrian refugees? I think the first thing we can do is, if you're not already connected to a refugee resettlement office near you, please, please get connected with them. Give them a call. Let them know that you want to help volunteer. Learn about what they do and how you can be supportive of their efforts. We've created a short link here that's bit.ly/refugee-resettlement-sites, and that is the state-by-state list of refugee resettlement sites so that you can connect with folks. You can also call your members of Congress, which I'll talk about in a second, and you can meet with your senators and your representatives when they're home. They're actually home this week, and they'll be home again the week of Thanksgiving, I think the 20th to the 30th, around there. So right now is a great opportunity for you to put in a meeting request to meet with your members of Congress about this, and we have a great toolkit that we'll link to and I'll talk about in a second. Other folks will mention on the call, but just to include on the slide of what people can do and to tee it up for them, you can write an opinion editorial or a letter to your editor about the need to welcome Syrian refugees and what your community is already doing. You can host events to educate your communities about what's happening in Syria, and also to answer questions about refugee resettlement. It's been in the news a lot, but maybe it's the first time many people are actually learning about what the resettlement system does. And then sharing stories, certainly on social media and with your community. So I'll go to the next slide here. In terms of specifically meeting with your members of Congress, your member of Congress might be on the Appropriations Committee. And here are the links, appropriations.senate.gov or .house.gov. So check out if your member sits on the Appropriations Committee. This could be really important, because if they sit on the Appropriations Committee, they're the ones making decisions about if we can increase funding for refugee assistance and resettlement. If they aren't on the Appropriations Committee, though, they can still really make a difference. They can influence other members of Congress who are on the Appropriations Committee. And this is actually really important. When members hear from other members of Congress, hey, this is important to my state, this is important to my community, then that's a really helpful push that those appropriators need to make the right decision. So meeting with them and urging them and letting them know that their constituents care about refugees and funding for refugee assistance and resettlement is really important. I'll go to the next slide here. And the way that you can request a meeting, you can go to their website at house.gov or senate.gov to get their contact information, to call their DC office or their office near you. And again, this is a new toolkit, hot off the press from last week. We've created a short link, bit.ly/local-congressional-visits. Again, I'll put some of these direct links in the chat function after my section here. So this is a great toolkit that takes you step-by-step how to request a meeting with your member of Congress about these issues, some helpful backgrounders on the different refugee funding accounts, because I know it can be a little bit nerdy and wonky and in the weeds, and then also a sample letter and different information that will be helpful for setting up those visits. I always recommend, you know, if you can, include a refugee to tell their story, a caseworker who works for a refugee resettlement site, a faith leader, maybe an employer who employs refugees, a community member who's influential. That's a really solid group. Obviously, it doesn't have to be, you know, one person from each of those, but it's just a recommendation. And then let us know. Our contact information will be at the end slide. I'm also going to include some contact information on Refugee Council USA staff. Let us know if you are meeting, if we can be helpful in any way. And it's also helpful as we meet with their DC office staff to make sure to make those connections and emphasize that their constituents care about refugees, not just those of us in DC going and meeting with them. The next slide here is a call-in alert, and right now this is for the Senate. We're also going to be pushing out a call-in alert on the House side as well, but you can call your senator's office. You can urge them to co-sponsor the Graham-Leahy Bipartisan Supplemental for Syria. And that's actually really important, because when people start hearing that their constituents care about funding for refugee assistance and resettlement, it's going to really influence the appropriations process that's happening right now. So I'll move to the next slide here, and I think this is just a list of some of these resources that will be talked about throughout the call today. Again, links to resettlement offices. We're going to talk about Welcome Weekend. We're going to talk about hashtag Refugees Welcome Dinners, the action alert that I mentioned, social media and op-ed templates, the local congressional visit toolkit. And then if you're interested in even getting more involved than you are already in refugee-related advocacy efforts, you can sign up for advocacy alerts at this short link, bit.ly/refugee-advocacy. And then my last slide here, and then I'll turn it back over to Noel, is just a list of contacts from Refugee Council USA. You'll see some overlap already with different faith networks that you might be related to. But if you have questions about refugee resettlement or you're trying to connect with one of our local offices, it might be helpful to connect with some of us as well. So I know this is a lot of content, but everyone will get a copy of the slides if they haven't already, and hopefully some of the links and email addresses in particular will be helpful. So Noel, I'll hand it back over to you.
All right. Thanks so much, Janet. It's so important to get that information, those updates about what's really happening in D.C. And what's happening across the country with the type of, for example, anti-Muslim sentiment that has been growing, and really starting to think about, well, what's our advocacy strategy in response to that. So I really appreciate that all that really helpful information for the field. And I think the next piece the rest of the focus of this webinar will be on these, like, how, what can you do in the field? How can you be educating your congregation from a faith perspective, from the congregational services that you have weekly? And then also, you know, what can we be doing to really highlight the importance of community members welcoming through these shared meals, these welcome dinners? So very glad, again, that Dr. Reverend Sharon Stanley Ray with Christian Church and Disciples of Christ can be with us today to walk us through some of these resources that we've created for you all, and, you know, hoping that you can be working with your congregation and signing up. And that's something we'll be hitting on, especially in the next section, is if you are doing an activity, an event, you know, we really want you all to be signing up. And we have a Google Maps sign-up sheet so we can map all of the different events. So go ahead, Sharon. If you're talking, we can't hear you yet. You need to press *6. Are you with us, Sharon? Well, I know I heard her in the beginning of this call. So, I think
I
heard
her. Now?
There she is. Yep, now we got you.
Sorry, I kept pressing *6. Well, I am very excited to be with all of you, and what we really want to do is give you a lot of different ways to utilize the kind of resources and share the kind of messages for advocacy and relationship building that Jen just pointed us to. And for sure, when we're in this kind of environment where we certainly have been hearing so many both anti-refugee and anti-immigrant messages, when we know that Paul Ryan, we've been hearing him build his career on saying he would not bring up comprehensive immigration reform. We've heard from Marco Rubio that if elected president, he would repeal DACA. So it could be easy to be discouraged. However, there is so much that we as faith communities can do, and to push back against those who are not ready to welcome, and to say that particularly as faith communities, we are ready, and also to claim and name the kind of experience, I think, that faith communities in some ways more than any others have in terms of welcoming refugees. We know that even in the last couple of months, even though there have not yet been so many Syrian refugees who have been allowed to come into the United States, nonetheless, faith communities have given thousands of dollars in resources to support them. You've welcomed tens of thousands of refugees over the heritage throughout decades in our different denominations. So right now, as we're entering into this season of hospitality, what we hope is that we can really kick it off with what we're calling Welcome Weekend. And over the long term, what our endeavor is that we'll be, think of it kind of as building a hospitality highway, step by step and path by path and turn by turn. And we know that with the number of refugees we would anticipate will be entering in, and certainly with the level of the crisis, that we really need to be looking towards a marathon of welcome. So again, as a first step this weekend, or as soon as you can do it, we hope that you will kick off your efforts of welcoming refugees by holding a Welcome Weekend. So we encourage you during that Welcome Weekend, first of all, go to the link where we have our Welcome Weekend resources. If you forget this exact link, go to our regular site, www.interfaithimmigration.org, and then you can just put in the search box, Welcome Weekend, and again, you'll get the full host of resources. These will be resources where we're encouraging this weekend, if possible, or sometime soon, that you would take an effort to try to build up an understanding among your own faith community of what refugee journeys have been. You would help ensure that folks understand that this is an urgent time to prioritize contacts with legislators, to ask them specifically to contribute additional humanitarian assistance internationally, as well as to welcome in more refugees to our own country, and to ensure that funds are allocated during this appropriations time, especially over the next 2 to 3 weeks, that legislators would understand that dollars need to go towards welcoming refugees in order for that work to be done well. So there are three key resources specific for Welcome Weekend that we have provided for you on the IIC website. One is a registration form, another a one-pager, and the third, the toolkit. And we're going to run through those really quickly, and Megan will go to the next slide. So we're spending a moment specifically on registration because we want to say again and again and again, your registration is key for the Welcome Weekend event, for any kind of meal that you may be planning to hold with refugees, or another type of wonderful event that you may be having that helps your community to welcome and learn about refugees. It's important to register because we really want to track what you are doing. That will help us gather stories. It'll help us with our mapping to be able to continue to build and strengthen the understanding among legislators that faith communities are excited about welcoming, and that that excitement indeed exists all around the country, and we are able to get the greatest traction on our media as we are fully aware of what you are doing within your own setting. So you can just tell when you go to the resources and you click on the registration, you have a chance to put in your name as well as your church name or organization, your particular congregation and denomination, and to tell us about the type of event or perhaps multiple events that you are looking at doing, whether it's attending a dinner, hosting a dinner, having the kind of meeting with legislators that Jen was talking about a few moments ago, and or including in some way awareness building of refugees in your worship service. Again, for Welcome Weekend, we hope this weekend, if at all possible, and as soon as possible if this weekend doesn't work. You'll also have a chance on the registration to tell us about how did you learn about this kind of hospitality highway, this movement to build welcoming, and whether or not you yourself may be a member of a refugee community. So we'll go forward. After you have registered, or probably before you register in order to make sure you know about the variety of options that we hope to provide resources to you to use, we invite you to go to see the Refugees Welcome Resources. a couple of those specifically, in addition to the registration page that you can find there, include a Welcome Weekend Toolkit and a Welcome Weekend one-page information sheet. Both of those point you to and give you explicit information that provides links to some very powerful poetry about the experience of being refugees. This is by Somali-born poet, very impactful, good for utilizing quotes in sermons or in other speaking expressions, or to even for table conversations, to use it perhaps as a part of your welcome weekend and or your dinners as well. You'll find a call to worship, sample prayers. You'll be able to find sermon talking points. If you want to use it for this Sunday, maybe particularly appropriate if your congregation uses the lectionary, because the sermon talking points are focused on 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 4 through 20, which happens to be the passage of Hannah crying out in pain, calling for a response, a kind of text that we feel like thematically relates very well to the kind of cries that we've seen visually, that we've heard in stories on the media throughout the summer and ongoingly related to the needs of refugees. So we hope that you may, if you're preaching, include some part of that or pass it forward to perhaps the pastor in your church if you're not. And also, even if you're not able to lift it up this weekend, perhaps at another weekend soon, you could have an opportunity to use some of those talking points. As Jen pointed out earlier, this is a great time to be sure that congregations, and my experiences, while some congregations are certainly aware of their closest refugee resettlement agency, some of them may not be. It may have been a bit of a time since they had been involved over the years in refugee resettlement. So this is a great opportunity to relearn again where your refugee resettlement office is that's nearest to you. And you'll see on the one pager and on the Welcome Weekend Toolkit additional resources, background information and resources on actions specifically. So the three actions, as you'll see on this slide, that we're asking for in this kickoff of a Welcome Weekend event is to call on Congress. You heard Jen talk about it earlier, to increase funding for additional refugee resettlement and protection. And as mentioned, this is a great time to be doing it because congressional leaders are in your own neck of the woods. They are home in this time, literally over this welcome weekend. They are there, as well as coming up again on the 20th and 30th, and no doubt other times throughout the holidays that are coming soon as well. So if you can possibly meet in person with them, all the better. Otherwise, we ask as well, or really in addition, that you would call today and call every day, specifically to urge your senators to co-sponsor the bill that was referred to earlier, 2145, a bipartisan refugee supplemental appropriations bill, and make sure that your legislators indeed are sponsoring it. We say again at the end of that sentence, don't forget to register. Every action that you are doing, please let us know about it. Again, that helps us amplify the faith voice throughout the media. Secondly, we want to invite you to consider planning a meal, especially in this holiday season that is focused so strongly around gathering around the table. We invite you to plan a meal with refugees, if you can, locally, and again, with your congressional leaders. You'll see specific resources related under our refugees welcome resources related to how to plan that meal, how to contact your local resettlement office. There's a link to it. Plus, I saw just now, Jen posted again that listing of folks as well, in addition. And Further information about how to let us know about the type of event that you're planning. Divide up your tasks invite your representative and or staff to come and be with you, and you'll see some resources as well when your event is actually happening that you can use, some questions about how to share stories, how to identify ways that your community can begin to work with refugees and can hopefully continue to build and strengthen the relationship step by step. Again, if you're planning a meal, please register that and let us know. And thirdly, we really invite you to use social media to share your church's commitment to hospitality for refugees. Make sure you're telling through the media if you've had a drive for refugee hospitality kits, if you have taken a vote in your congregation that you really want to learn more about Syrian refugees or perhaps to sponsor them. Make sure that the social network world is hearing that on social media. So use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Take pictures at your events, at your worship service, at your meal. Post them. Hold welcome signs. You see just one example of a number of church leaders in Dallas-Fort Worth who did this recently. AmericaWelcomes.us is one site where it's very simple to post and upload your picture that documents the hospitality heart that you have within your congregation, and use the hashtag RefugeesWelcome in your posts as again and again so that others can find them and repost them as well. And we'll go to the next slide. So again, in terms of the welcome dinners, we already talked about types of information that you'll find if you go on the interfaithimmigration.org site and you type in refugees welcome dinners, you'll see the information that is here and specific further information about how you can sit down at a meal together and suggestions for conversation. We'll go to the next slide. And we see here how it could look in your church as you do that. So, again, access these resources. You see in the Welcome Weekend resources, the Refugees Welcome Dinners page. We hope that all of these will be helpful to you in documenting your readiness to embrace refugees and to claiming the political impact that your own stories of outreach truly can have. And we, more than anything, we want all of our faith communities to value the kind of impact and voice that it has in taking these kinds of steps to let your legislators know that no excuses, now is the time as faith communities were key in welcoming Vietnamese refugees and others from Southeast Asia at the end of the war a number of decades ago. You're ready again, and make sure that they're hearing from your voices. So I'll turn it back over to you, Noel.
Thanks so much, Sharon, for walking us through that in there. And Megan, if you want to go to the next couple slides, there's a few other pieces about the welcome dinners. You know, we want to keep our focus in on building relationships and telling the stories and our stories too, sharing our stories, but also understanding their stories more and what does it mean to tell the story of self. And then really, you know, getting refugee, understanding where refugees are coming from and how, asking them, well, how can we support you in what it means to really integrate into the community. Next slide. And then again, we're walking together on this journey and in solidarity, accompaniment, and learning what it means to be an ally to a newcomer in our community. And in terms of the social media pieces, I'll let you cover some of that, Megan. But I think Yasmin Saif from Friends Committee and on National Legislation is on the call and would like to say a word about the importance of the dinners, the community dinners. Are you on with us, Yasmin? If you are, you're going to probably need to press *6. Yasmin from
Sure. FBI. Thank you so much for inviting me to join the call. And Sharon did a fantastic job of giving an overview of the importance of the Welcome Dinners resource tools available to community members. I mean, I briefly just wanted to, again, just not just highlight the importance and just the reason behind why these dinners are happening, but I guess a little as to why FCNL has taken such a great interest in wanting to assist, and not just with the welcome dinners, but with advocacy and lobbying around helping with the Syrian refugee crisis. I mean, our network, similar to probably a lot of your organizations, it's incredibly active, cares incredibly, immensely about this issue. And when we've sent our you know, action alerts on Graham Leahy, we've had members contacting us, not just telling us that, you know, they've called in, they've contacted their senators, but just this immense urge to wanting to do so much more to be helpful. And we've been in touch with a number of our members who have expressed interest in helping organize dinners. And just one that I wanted to mention that I've spoken with colleagues at Church World Service is we've been in touch with some of our membership in Northern Virginia, and I mean, myself included, I live in that area, so we're in touch with our, you know, congressional representatives, but also our state elected officials. I guess, like, the one thing that I just wanted to point out is that, I mean, we say how important it is to make sure that, you know, we're doing what we can during, you know, welcome weekend and during the appropriations discussions, making sure that if we're organizing any sort of dinners or events to invite elected officials. But I guess what I wanted to say was it's because of kind of the timing that we're looking at. I mean, it is the holidays. Thanksgiving's coming up. There's honestly going to be, I feel like, very kind of low kind of number of elected officials that can turn down an invitation to dinner with a refugee family. I mean, I can't even think of, like, the worst of the worst that would, you know, kind of, like, turn the other way and be like, no, I'm not interested. So I guess I just wanted to highlight that it's not as difficult as it seems. And the elected officials that we've contacted in Northern Virginia, for example, for dinner that we're going to be coordinating, we, you know, contacted the governor's office, the attorney general, who some of you may know, he's responsible for passing executive action on DACA in Virginia. You know, Don Beyer, who's the congressman in Arlington in the 8th Congressional District. All of them were incredibly, like, thankful that we reached out, very receptive. And I guess I just wanted to, like, reiterate again the importance of doing these dinners with elected officials, because I think the more we try to humanize the situation and letting our elected officials know that these are individuals that are living in our communities or contributing in our communities or, you know, our colleagues, you know, it's just, for me, it's just such an easy thing to be able to do, to try to introduce this, I guess, issue to our elected officials, to have them be more open to wanting to help with either resettling more Syrian refugees in the U.S. or helping with assistance abroad. So yeah, that's really just wanted to reiterate again the importance of it.
And thanks so much, Yasmin, and yes.
Sharon, one more time with a plug back to Jen's pointing us to the impact of the appropriations committees, in particular three different subcommittees on that, the Homeland Security and Labor, Health, and Human Services, and the State Foreign Operations and Related Programs. You know, you may or may not already be aware whether you have members on the House or the Senate side of Appropriations Committee, but folks who are represented who are members of those committees, and whether or not they're on those three subcommittees, they are from an extensive number of locations, covering certainly not all states, but many, many of the states represented on this call. So please do take a list take a look at the list of committee members on both sides and make sure they're hearing from you. And if your legislator does not happen to be on an appropriation subcommittee or the full committee, please make sure they are using their voice to contact those members to take a vote, because this is a time when we have an opportunity in the next few weeks to raise support funds that can make it possible for us to welcome in refugees. And that is really life-saving work to do.
Thank you, Sharon, for highlighting that. And also, Yasmeen, in terms of these members of our that really are accountable to us as voters, coming to these welcome dinners, coming to these community dinners, and we really, especially when we're talking about appropriations, to get that life-saving funding going. So, and of course, lifting that up to broader than just your sort of church newsletter, which is also good. We really want to get the word out through social media and traditional media. And so, Megan, if you could touch on how we do that.
Absolutely. Thank you again for everyone who joined us today and for all of the other presenters who have given such great information about the importance of speaking out now and getting in touch with our elected officials and community members. Tell them why it's so important to get involved to welcome refugees right now. One of the best ways to increase the reach that each event has is through the media, be it traditional media with radio, TV, newspapers and magazines and other traditional forms, and through social media. There's a lot of great resources online that we've already put together for traditional media to help show how you can outreach to people in your community, letting them know about these worship services and community dinners and other welcoming events that you decide to put on. And we are here to help as well. So if you can see online, there is a short link that will allow you to go straight to the communications section of our toolkit, where you'll find some draft media releases, op-eds, social media posts, and how to outreach media in your area. Please feel free to download that material, and also feel free to contact me. My name is Megan Cagle, and I'm with Church World Service, and I'm happy to help promote these events. Everything that we can do to push these events out into the broader public audience, more people thinking about refugee issues and talking about the crisis in Syria, and with the welcoming message that we're working with and all of the amazing work that so many of us are already doing, it will really have like a positive impact on all of our communities. However, we can boost that, be it through an op-ed or a letter to the editor like Jen mentioned, or a church bulletin like Noel mentioned, or really any other resources that we can help push out. That's the best way that we can get people talking about this, and we're here to help. One of the easiest ways and a very cost-effective way to help promote your event is through social media. And you can see that we already have an easily shared graphic, which is also available for download on the toolkit. A great way to help give an image to your event, and people can also follow your event through hashtags. And you can see we have a few that we have listed on the side. The one that we are wanting everyone to use for all of our events, be it welcoming work service or community dinner or other events, is hashtag refugees welcome. This is a hashtag that a lot of people have been using in the past several months to really help promote this welcoming message, both here in the United States and internationally. So whatever we can do to help push out this message through that hashtag will be so, so helpful in building the movement and the incredible online presence that's already in existence. And feel free to also use some of these other hashtags, Welcome World, Refugees, Refugee Crisis. These are all really commonly used and will help us all track what's going on, how people are talking about it, and what events are starting to pop up. Also, feel free to create a hashtag of your own. If you have a community dinner in, say, Virginia, you could create Virginia Welcomes Refugees or a hashtag like that. people can track your specifically, and that's a lot with media outreach as well. If a reporter knows that you're going to be using that particular hashtag, they can follow you and see what the day-to-day updates are, what the updates are on the day of the event. They'll also be able to find any photos. I know Sharon talked about the importance of sharing photos, but it really is invaluable to have these great photos online and available for everyone to see. If we can humanize this crisis and show that PGs are just like any other member of our community, we're all working together to welcome, this will really be helpful. Any images that you share using these hashtags, we will be sure and follow them and share them as well. So please, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd be happy to help however possible, but using these hashtags and the resources available for download are the great ways to get started in planning your event and making sure that the public is aware of it and that the media can cover it as well.
Great. Thank you very much, Megan. Well, we have just a little bit of information, just a little bit of time after a lot of information to ask some questions. So if you'd like to ask a question, either enter it into the chat function or press *6 and ask your question. So if anyone's trying to speak, we can't quite hear you, so you have to press *6. The question, *6. Okay, well, I'm not seeing any questions pop up on the chat function, and I'm not hearing anybody speak up. Yeah?
This is Sharon. I would love to ask our network who's on the call, wherever you are around the country, to maybe give some input to us about any types of resources that would be helpful for us to be providing you with, or some feedback about whether or not what is provided is something that you think can be useful.
Right, so if you want to respond, please press *6. How are these resources helpful for you all? Or what can we do better with them? Well, we are at the hour, so that might be part of it. I think I see some people starting to drop off the webinar portion. But does anybody like to add anything? If they're playing, are you planning an event? Anything folks would like to add before we sign off here? All right, well, I think part of it is our presenters did a great job putting out the resources and the information and the advocacy needs right now. And we will be giving you all, those of you who are out there doing the work and we know who you are, we'll probably be giving you a call to see, you know, how we can be supportive in you all moving forward in this. And thank you so much for joining the webinar, and we will be holding one next month, and we're still figuring out which theme, but you will be hearing from us. And thank you for all the work you are all doing. Our prayers are with you in the work, and God bless you in this struggle for immigrant and refugee rights. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, Noel.